So last night, Krishna was still trapped in Kaliya's coils when the residents of Vrindavan arrived. But hearing their crying, he instantly broke free and told Kaliya, "You have shown me your strength. Although I am a small boy, I will now show you a little bit of mine." And then he teased Kaliya, going here and there, and playing with him. And in this way, Kaliya spat so much venom at him while trying to strike Krishna, and he became gradually tired. Now, Krishna was ready. He jumped up on the mighty hood of Kaliya, and he proudly stood there. This vision of Krishna standing upon Kaliya's head is an ideal meditation. Now please hear what happened next. Krishna stood high on Kaliya's head, as if it were a stage, especially designed for a musical concert, looking extremely beautiful. Krishna smiled and he glanced at all the people who were present. And he delighted the hearts of those who had come there crying for him. But Kaliya was not happy. He did not want Krishna standing on his head. So he immediately tried to attack him with another of his hoods and spitting at him. And Krishna very casually gave a few kicks on the hood that he was standing on. Kick, kick, kick. And then after a few strong kicks, he gracefully jumped to the hood which was trying to attack him. And from all directions, Kaliya was trying to strike Krishna. And at once, Krishna was rapidly and forcefully jumping from one head to another, and he was kicking, kicking, kicking each of these heads. Then suddenly, while jumping and kicking, Krishna suddenly felt like dancing. Kaliya continued to angrily strike at Krishna with his poisonous fangs. But for Krishna, these constantly swaying, jewel-encrusted hoods appeared like an interesting stage for a beautiful performance. Before starting to dance, he gracefully tied back his beautiful black curly hair and casually tightened his waist belt, and then he repositioned his turban, peacock feather, and his garland along with his flute. Then, by way of his infallible transcendental desire known as Ichha Shakti, two extraordinary glistening, tinkling ankle bells appeared on each of his ankles. Now he was ready to dance. that dancing becomes even more enjoyable and far more beautiful to watch when it is accompanied by expert drum playing, boom, 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 and singing, chanting of prayers, and so forth. Yet even without any musical accompaniment, Krishna began his dance to the sound of tai, 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 uttered from his own mouth. Now, on Kaliya's jewel-studded raised heads, graceful and effulgent Krishna began to dance. Without any accompaniment of singing or instrumental music. And each of Kaliya's hoods, by the way, were decorated with one red jewel. This is very common for a serpent, for a cobra. And as Krishna moved on Kaliya's hoods, the soles of his feet, which are naturally reddish, now shone, illuminated, with an even more beautiful reddish radiance than usual. As soon as the demigods and the other residents of the higher planets became aware that Krishna was beginning a wonderful dance, they anxiously desired to take part. They all thought, what is the value of our being established in important positions within this universe if we cannot accompany the Lord in his dancing? And then, from Vaikuntha, his personal attendants came, while from the heavenly planets, the celestial singers known as Gandharvas, whose voices are as sweet can be, as sweet and melodious, came, rushing there, eager to sing, while the Vidyadharas, or the celestial musicians, known for their musical abilities, arrived carrying their respective instruments ready to accompany the dancing. There were many, many different kinds of drums, including mridangas, as well as panavas and anakas and nagaras, which are all two-sided drums that are played with sticks. Everyone was overcome with excitement. They brought with them a wider range of other kind of musical instruments from the celestial planets, including flutes, conch shells, bugles, veenas, sitars, shanai, and jalatarangas. The heavenly dancing girls, known as apsaras, also joyfully came there, wanting to offer some service. They did not come to dance because they felt it was inappropriate, seeing that Krishna himself was dancing. But they wanted to shower flowers from the heavenly domain or accompany his dancing in some way. They understood that now was the time for the dance performance that they had all been waiting for. Then the chief demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva with his Dumaru, Indra with his mridanga, and Narada with his veena, quickly understood the intentions of Krishna. And all these demigods were anxious to assist. So they positioned themselves in the sky, some distance above Krishna, waiting for his indication to participate. Then, pointing at Krishna, turned to the residents of Braj, and he said, "Look! Look at my brother Krishna! Look at my brother! His tender, soft body and his eyes, beautified with kajal, now appear before us as personified death to the Kaliya serpent. Look, see how his priceless jeweled ornaments sparkle millions of times more brightly than the insignificant, fiery, flaming venom coming from Kaliya's poisonous mouths. Krishna has all the strength required to finish off this insignificant serpent. Yet instead, he is artistically dancing with his turban, his earrings, his yellow cloth, and a fragrant flower garland. Look, see how beautiful his curly hair is that had become loosened during the fight to free himself from the grip of that snake. But now, tightening his cloth, Krishna has revealed his desire to beat down the heads of Kaliya and enjoy dancing. Just to please you, all of you, he is determined to destroy the dazzling gems on the serpent's hood. Just see how his blazing radiance already completely diminishes the radiance of those jewels." And then he turned to all the residents of Braj and he said, "Please understand deeply and try to realize the purport of my words. You do not need to worry any more about this insignificant calamity." From the shore, everyone looked on. Those who had fainted all regained consciousness. The cowherd boys rose up full of enthusiasm, and seeing that Krishna was safe and well, they started cheering and they became so happy. Ananda and Yasoda and the other elderly members of the Braj community all stopped their weeping and crying and looked at Krishna with loving hearts. And the cows and the other animals, instead of making sounds of distress, expressed now their great joy. Although they had stopped weeping, still Nanda and Yasoda could not be fully peaceful with this. they remained uneasy with the thought that perhaps Krishna was dancing on a snake, and perhaps the situation could again become unfavorable. But the others were much more jolly, such as the cowherd boys, who now stood all around the bank, cheering and cheering Krishna, and singing and laughing and dancing. Along with Krishna, they danced in great happiness. Actually, this dance, this beautiful dance, was being performed by Krishna for the pleasure of the young gopis who had already fallen deeply, deeply in love with him. And while he was dancing for their pleasure, everyone else looked on. Sometimes it is seen that a very expert dancer can dance on top of a clay pot. Or sometimes a dancer can dance on a metal plate. And sometimes a dancer is dancing on a pot carrying a bowl of fire on her head. Sometimes they may carry the fire in their hands while they are dancing. But who could dance gracefully upon a completely uneven surface? It's swaying and jerking. Kali is trying to get Krishna off his head, or at least kill him. So the surface is spraying, moving here and there, and he's jumping from one hood to another. And at the same time as he is dancing constantly on these different surfaces, he has enemies all around him, the different hoods of Kaliya, who are constantly trying to kill him. Now, what dancer can dance beautifully under such circumstances? Nobody. Nobody can dance like this. Only Krishna can dance in this way. So please hear more about this wonderful occasion. When the demigods first arrived from the celestial planets, they waited for some indication which taal they should play. But Krishna was already dancing. And thus the demigods carefully began to accompany him. Their instruments sounded softly. Tiya ta 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 tiya. Tiya ta 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 tiya. Tai tai tai. Taiya tai tai tiya ta. They brought out new and different melodies by combining different notes and sounds and rhythms. And Krishna expertly responded as he stepped from one hood of the serpent to another. The drums beat loudly. Drung, drung, drung. Drummy, 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 dung, dung, dung. And Krishna's brilliance increased more and more as they drum beat and they played their beautiful instruments. And he forcibly began to stomp on Kaliya's head. His dance was so delicate, so intricate, and so amazing that sometimes the demigods could not even keep up with him. As he moved rhythmically from one of the serpent's heads to another, to another, to another. And sometimes Krishna leapt up very high in the air, and then he came down again on another one of Kaliya's heads. While moving from one hood to another in great joy, he would heavily impact on Kaliya's heads, and that particular head would be so injured that it would retreat and hide behind the other heads as if seeking protection. Remember, Krishna was dancing with the weight of the universe. So whichever head came up and would not bow down, would not give up his stubbornness on the pretext of a beautiful, delicate dance, Krishna would trample it down with the striking of his lotus feet. The residents of Vrindavan watched in amazement as Krishna danced so wonderfully and so gracefully, using sometimes his feet and sometimes his soles and sometimes dancing on the tip of his toes. He danced so expertly upon the serpent's labyrinthine multitude of heads. And seeing this, the residents of Vrindavan offered arti to him with their breath. Now please hear something amazing about Krishna's expertise. He would continuously hit Kaliya's emerging heads right on the end of a beat. But it was not as though Krishna was concentrating on Kaliya's heads at all. Initially, he knocked down a few heads, but as soon as he entered into the mood of dancing, he completely lost himself in the dancing and the music, and he was completely unaware of Kaliya. Yet, the side effect of his dance was that rhythmically and perfectly, Kaliya's heads were being pounded over and over and over and over by his dancing feet. Kaliya was fighting. His eyes were full of anger. Every time he tried to bite Krishna with one of his hoods, Krishna beat him down. Yet this dance of Krishna's, which is known as a Tandava dance, was different from the Tandava dance of Lord Shiva when he performs a dance for universal destruction. Because this Tandava dance, although it was beautiful and delicate and embellished with beats and notes, was nevertheless causing Kaliya so much pain. To Kalir, it felt as though it was a dance of devastation. He felt the full weight of Krishna's body upon each of his hoods. Krishna was driving out, forcing out all the contamination in that serpent's body. Whichever head did not bow down was trampled down by the strikes of his feet. And as the dance continued, Kalia would only occasionally dare to raise one of his hoods, breathing still very heavily with anger. And then the Lord would subdue it and force it down. And by the beatings of Krishna's feet, all his heads became severely wounded. And the jewels that once decorated them proudly were all now kicked away. As the demigods and the damsels of heaven watched Krishna's spectacular dance, they offered thousands and thousands of varieties of heavenly flowers to Krishna. And thus, it was as if it was raining flowers on Vraj. How fortunate Kalia was. Krishna's dance was removing all the poison and all the anger from his heart, and simultaneously marking his heads with an imprint like a scar of his own auspicious footprints. Yet Kalia was experiencing the greatest pain he had ever experienced in his life. No one before had made Kalia lose poison from his mouth or vomit blood. But now, all his hoods were smashed and broken. The skin on his heads was bruised and blistered from the kicks of Krishna, who didn't only make him bow down, but who ripped his heads open with wounds and blood. And now, finally, when all the venom was kicked out and Kalia was about to die, in that devastated state, it dawned on Kalia that this person who was so much more powerful than his long-feared enemy, Garuda, was none other than the Supreme Lord. Until now, Kalia's anger and arrogance did not allow him to recognize Krishna's position. But with the venom from his body removed, his mind had become purified. And he realized that Krishna was his master. And the master of all moving and non-moving beings. Losing his pride was like losing his life. That Kaliya, who was full of arrogance, had died, and what was left was a Kaliya who was humbled. When someone's ego has been destroyed, they are considered to be as good as dead. And now, yes, he was completely humbled. And it looked like he was about to lose his life as well. But finally, after so much purification, he understood that this chastisement was not a punishment for him, but rather it was a blessing, because it had made him pure and humble. As a result of being kicked relentlessly by Krishna in the course of his most amazing and unique dance, Kaliya's entire demeanor had changed. His eyes, that before were full of anger and pride, now became gentle. Seeing the change in their husband's disposition, and also seeing his critical condition, his wives now came forward to approach Krishna for the first time. When Krishna was fighting with Kaliya, his wives did not disturb the fight. But now, seeing that their husband was about to die, they felt it was appropriate to approach immediately to the Lord and beg him to forgive their husband and save his life. It should be noted that the sole reason that Krishna displayed so much mercy upon Kaliya was the spontaneous, unmotivated devotion of his wives. They had often told their husband about Krishna, but it was like sowing a seed in barren land. But now that seed of devotion was about to sprout. Tomorrow, we will hear their wonderful, loving exchanges with Krishna. And then, keeping in mind the philosophy that the best should be last, we will have a wonderful grand finale. So please do not forget to come tomorrow. Thank you. Hare Krishna.